You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
The Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission case came before the United States Supreme Court last year. By a 5-4 vote, the court determined that corporations are people. On that basis, they voted to give corporations the ability to take money from their corporate treasuries and spend it on campaigns. The ruling lifted a 63-year-old ban prohibiting corporations and unions from spending unlimited amounts of money on political advocacy. It has prompted fears of an unprecedented flood of corporate contributions to electoral campaigns. Groups have begun organizing at the local level to fight this decision. South Central Wisconsin Move to Amend is one of those local organizations. Kaya Rabana is co-chair of that group, and she joins us on the phone from Wisconsin. Hello, Kaya.
Hello.
The Supreme Court case pitted Citizens United against the Federal Election Commission. Who is Citizens United?
Citizens United is a conservative nonprofit organization that wanted to air a film critical of Hillary Clinton before the 2008 primary elections. And that violated campaign reform laws, including the 2002 Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act, which is better known as the McCain-Feingold Act. And basically, they wanted to put this on air. The law said that they couldn't because they had corporate backers, and then they took it up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court interpreted the case much more broadly than they needed to, and basically just opened the floodgates to corporate spending. Rather than taking a really narrow interpretation, which would have been more appropriate legally, they basically said, you know, we can't limit corporate spending from general treasuries to influence elections because that would be a violation of the free speech of people. So they kind of took something narrow and they made it very broad and very sweeping.
Has it been an uptick in corporate donations as a result of that court case?
Yes, absolutely. Or I should say corporate spending, really, because a lot of it is undisclosed where the money is really coming from specifically, but we know a lot of it is corporate. In the November elections, which were our midterm elections, electing a lot of folks to Congress here, we saw about four times as much money spent to influence elections as we did in the last midterm election in 2006. So there's been a huge increase in the amount of money sloshing around trying to, you know, influence how people vote.
That's a really significant difference.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. And again, we don't know where all of this is coming from because there are not appropriate disclosure laws in place to even tell us where a lot of it's coming from. So at this point, large corporations or anybody with a lot of money can throw it into elections in a way that means the voters can't even track where it's coming from. And that's a huge problem.
So you don't have laws in place that say where corporate donations are coming from?
No, there's basically, since the Citizens United case, there have been ways available to corporations to contribute without that being revealed. They've been funneling money through third-party groups that are set up as nonprofit organizations that then make the expenditures to put up ads to say vote for X candidate or don't vote for Y candidate. But in a lot of cases, we don't know the original source of that money.
Now, I understand that your organization, South Central Wisconsin Move to Amend, has been involved in an effort to introduce a referendum on this Supreme Court decision. Can you tell us about that?
Sure, yeah. And actually, we're South Central Wisconsin Move to Amend, but we're actually part of a nationwide organization called Move to Amend, and there is a website if anybody wants to check it out. But yeah, so we here in Madison area in Wisconsin got two referenda onto the ballot, and those were on the ballot last Tuesday on April 5th. And both of those referenda basically said, you know, that we, the voters, support amending the U.S. Constitution to make it clear that corporations are not people and money is not speech. And the reason for that is because those are the two ideas that underlay the Citizens United decision and are causing a lot of other problems in our electoral system right now as well, which I can talk about if you'd like. But anyway, so we asked voters, do they want to amend the Constitution? In the city of Madison, 84% of people said, yes, we do. In the county, Dane County, which is where Madison is located, it was 78%. So on both counts, it's a very high number that want to fix this problem. I mean, this is something that stretches across the ideological spectrum, whether people are, you know, on the liberal end or the conservative end or somewhere in the middle. Most people get that corporations are not people, that money should not be treated as speech because that just means that, you know, the people that have money can make their voices heard and nobody else really can. And so they basically said, yeah, no, we want to amend the Constitution to make this clear.
Well, what other kind of problems has that amendment caused then in your electoral process?
Well, there's quite a good number. On the side of just corporate personhood, this idea, over time, corporations and their, you know, well-paid lawyers basically have thrown case and case and case up to the Supreme Court, trying to get more human rights, essentially, more rights under our Constitution, under our Bill of Rights for corporations. So just to give you one example, at this point, inspectors for our governmental offices, Environmental Protection Agency and the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, which are the agencies tasked with enforcing environmental regulations and worker safety and health regulations, they can't just go into, you know, a company's factory and do a surprise inspection at this point, because under our Constitution's Fourth Amendment, they basically have protection. And the reason is because the Fourth Amendment prohibits unreasonable searches of persons. And so corporations have said, well, we're persons too. You can't just come in here and search unless you have a search warrant or you get our permission first. And as you can imagine, that creates a bit of problems with trying to actually enforce the laws that our elected representatives have, you know, passed to protect the environment and workers. To give you an example on the money being speech side of things, the Supreme Court, our Supreme Court right now, is considering whether public financing of elections in Arizona is legal, and the reason is whether it's constitutional. And the reason that they're not sure that it's constitutional is because if somebody who's rich gives money to, you know, a candidate or to get a candidate elected, and then, you know, public financing is used to kind of even the playing field and give some money to their opponent, the argument is, well, that's silencing the speech of the rich person, right? So we haven't heard the decision yet from the Supreme Court, but they just heard arguments last week. It sounds very likely they're going to strike it down. If they do, that will, of course, take away one big way that, you know, we've so far had at our disposal to actually try to get fair elections. So we really need to just get to the core of things and, you know, amend our Constitution to make it really clear that corporations are not people and that money is not speech.
It just seems so absurd, and I guess this is what the huge numbers in favor of that referendum show. It seems so absurd to say that corporations are people. I mean, it's hard to see how you could get to that position.
Right, yeah. No, I mean, most people, if you go and ask, I mean, you ask a small child, you know, oh, you know, do you think ExxonMobil is the same thing as a living, breathing human being? I mean, they'll say no, right? I mean, a dog could tell you the difference, you know, a puppy could tell you the difference. It's not really that hard to grasp. But for some reason, our Supreme Court has had a lot of problems with this. And part of this is because of, you know, the fact that corporations over the years have, like I said, had very well-paid lawyers going up to the court again and again and pushing this line that corporations are persons. And just as historical context, the reason that corporations managed to eventually convince the court that was the case is because under our Constitution, all of our Constitution just refers to persons. It doesn't use the legal term natural person, which is what, you know, human beings like you and me are called. So it just says person. And corporations under the law are known legally as artificial persons. And the reason for that is because they have historically been granted certain privileges, like the ability to sue, to be sued, to make contracts, to hold property, things like that, that allow them to function, you know, as we expect them to function. And originally the idea was that they should function for the good of society, and they need to be able to do these things to actually, you know, fill that role. And so they'll have these privileges. But the problem is that since they're called artificial persons, corporate lawyers went to the Supreme Court and said, but the Constitution just talks about persons, and we're artificial persons, so we're persons too. We should have all the rights of persons under the Constitution. So it's this really weird legal argument, but eventually it was successful and, you know, convinced the courts that corporations actually are human beings.
What's the next step in the fight for you, having got this referendum on the ballot, got such good results? What's next?
Yeah, well, Move to Amend nationally is basically working towards a constitutional amendment to make it clear that corporations are not people and money is not speech. One, you know, really important first step in that process is to pass resolutions across the country in local communities, also through organizations, that indicate support for doing that. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is that it gets the conversation going, because our corporate-led media, for the most part, is not talking about these issues a whole lot. So it gets people talking to each other. And number two, it sends a really strong message to elected officials that we actually know what's going on and we expect them to do something about it. So here in Madison and Dane County, yeah, we just passed these referenda with great results, but there's a whole lot of the U.S. left that has not, you know, had similar referenda. So right now we're trying to work to help other folks in other places, including Wisconsin, but also beyond Wisconsin, you know, do the same thing where they live.
What's it going to take for the Constitution to be amended?
Well, the short answer is it's going to take a whole lot of people that want it to happen and, you know, make their voices heard in to say that they want it to happen. The slightly longer answer is that there are two ways to propose an amendment to the Constitution, and so one of the two would need to be used. The first way is through the federal Congress, so you'd need to have the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives each vote by two-thirds to propose some kind of amendment. The second way is to have two-thirds of the states actually call for a constitutional convention, which means state legislatures would need to pass a resolution that says that they want a constitutional convention, and then if you get to the two-thirds threshold, then a convention is held and whatever comes out of there are the proposed amendments. Now, in either case, you need to go back to the states to get a ratification vote, and that would require three-quarters of all states to vote to ratify whatever amendment comes out. So either way, you need, you know, huge support across the country to make this happen.
Now, Wisconsin is also the site of the fight against the union-busting bill introduced by Governor Scott Walker. Do you see these events, the anti-union bill and the Citizens United decision, as connected?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, basically, what we're seeing in this country increasingly is a situation where the government has been, you know, captured essentially by the by large corporate interests, and through those large corporate interests, also the interests of the you know, ultra wealthy, like the top 1 or 2% of society, and basically the government's being made to serve those interests. So the union, the anti-union bill, is a perfect example. You're talking about, you know, something that is being pushed in the name of fiscal responsibility, but it comes on the heels of basically the same government giving away tax breaks to large corporations, and it's being pushed basically to take away the power of working people to both claim a fair share of what they produce and also to have a political voice. And by doing that, that just gives more power to, again, the top, you know, 1 or 2% and the, you know, the really large corporate interests, which are the ones that are increasingly funding elections. And so it's really a terrible situation at this point when, you know, corporate lobbyists walk the halls of our state capitol or walk the halls of our, you know, federal capitol. They have a ton of influence because they can go to elected officials and say, well, you know, here's what we want, and if you don't do it, we've got, you know, millions or billions of dollars that we can put into ads in the next election to get you out of office, to get somebody that we like better who will do what we want. So, you know, it creates a real problem for elected officials, even if they want to, you know, represent the interests of their constituents. It makes it really, really hard for them to do so.
Well, it's been really good to talk to you this morning, Kai, and best of luck in your fight against this.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Kaya Rabbani. She's co-chair of the South Central Wisconsin Move to Amend.